Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
On Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Is the 60th birthday of Edmonton Oilers owner, Daryl Cates. Happy birthday, Daryl. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now, brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex, who wish you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Momentarily, we'll head off to the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. Keep texting us on the Ashley Five Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted from Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday through Saturday. Guests on the show will receive gift certificates to Japanese Village, now open for takeout orders. Full details at jvedmonton.ca. We welcome back to the show the champion. Head coach of the Pacific Division. The Pacific Division was the only division in the American Hockey League that decided to have playoffs. The Bakersfield Condors, by virtue of a 3-2 victory on Saturday night in Nevada, ended up winning the Pacific Division 2-1 over, I mentioned, Manny Viveros earlier on the show today from his playing days on an obscenely gifted and talented St. Albert team that I played against growing up as a kid. But Jay Woodcroft joins us right now, head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for having me on today.
Yep, absolutely. Your team showed up and they never quit during the course of the playoffs. I know there was some discussion out there. I mean, the Pacific Division players were the only ones to decide to play. Other divisions did not have a playoff series. You guys were tough situation out of the gate early against San Diego. You rallied. You won a couple overtime games. You won another overtime game against Henderson, and you bounced back after a tough game two loss. You got to be pretty proud of what your players accomplished this year.
Absolutely. I thought, our players set out with a goal in mind of winning our division, and it took a lot of hard work to get there. You're talking about winning our last game of the season there, which is a big accomplishment, and everyone's excited about it, certainly. But what I was most impressed with was just the level of work and attention to detail on a daily basis, kind of since we started that 4.5-month odyssey, and just really proud of our team. It's quite an accomplishment for those players, and very excited for them.
Well, we've talked so much about the prospects this year. That said, how important were veterans Brad Malone, Malone's on an AHL deal, Adam Cracknell and Seth Griffith that were on NHL contracts, Kevin Gravel and Ryan Stanton that were on AHL deals, just to assist your group, because you never really got the full team that you envisioned maybe having in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys that you mentioned, and I'd put even Luke Esposito and Joseph Gambardella in that category as well. It's just kind of people that drove our team right off the bat. They're an extensions of the coaching staff in terms of, you know, passing on the message of how we wanted the game to be played and leading the way through example. They said the right things. They did the right things. And what I think is, you know, a similarity amongst all great teams, I really believe that all great teams share one common characteristic, and that's great teammates. And those people that you mentioned there and the ones that I threw into that hat, you know, they're not only leaders but great teammates. And as a coaching staff, we're thankful they were with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you even think you were going to be playing playoffs at all, Jay?
Well, there was a little bit of, uncertainty there for sure. As you mentioned, I think the Pacific Division was the only division that voted to continue playing beyond the regular season, and there was a little bit of unrest and whatnot. So as a coaching staff, we really didn't know what to expect there. But at the end of the day, I think what you saw was a team of players who really dug in and worked for each other. They committed to the cause, and it wasn't easy. Like you mentioned, that first series against San Diego, which was a heck of a series, you know, they had sent all these guys down from their NHL club because they were out of the playoffs, and there was some high-end talent on the other side there, and I don't think we led for 1 second of that series. We lost the first game. We dropped the first game. We went into that the second game. We were down. We came back, and we won it in overtime. And then even the deciding game, you know, same thing. We were down, and we came back, and we stuck with it. We really liked the way we played the game and how we shut down that high-end talent. And we knew heading into Henderson that it was going to be a different type of game played and a different animal with the Henderson Silver Knights. And, we were playing in their big building. There was a lot of electricity in that series. And our guys dug in and found a way. And in the end, you know, I really believe that the best team won. I believe that. We played Henderson over the last 6 weeks or so. We played them 11 times, and that was our ninth win against them in 11 times, which is not an easy thing to do, especially against that team. They're very well coached. They play the game the right way, but for some reason, we seem to have their number. And in the end, we found a way to stick with it harder and longer. And as I mentioned, I couldn't be more proud of all those players.
It's funny how things work out, Jay. Anton Forsberg was signed to give the Oilers a depth goaltender that would not force a guy like Stuart Skinner to have to play, 80% of starts. And instead, Forsberg got claimed on waivers, moved around all year long. You never got him. But did we find something out about Stuart Skinner this year in the American Hockey League?
I think we did. He is in third year of his development curve. I think last year he proved that he can be an everyday American League number one goaltender. This year he was challenged with the task of being an elite American Hockey League goaltender. I think his experience up in the NHL and just learning through osmosis from Smith and Koskinen of what it takes to, to be an NHL goaltender helped him immensely. And, I think when we talk about his development curve, it's not been a straight line. He's had steps forward and some small steps backward. It hasn't been all pretty and nice through those 3 years. But I really believe that developing expertise at that position requires some level of struggle, sacrifice, and probably most importantly, honest self-assessment. And I think that's where I've seen the biggest growth in Stuart has been between the years, his ability to accept the challenge of mentally being an elite goaltender at this level and what's required of elite goaltenders at this level. And so, you know, as he continued to improve and get better, so did the fortunes of our team.
We're joined right now by Jay Woodcroft, head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, Bob Stauffer with you in Oilers Now. So, Jay, interesting on defense. You had Marcus Niemelainen. He played a ton for you early in the year. He disappeared. Now that the season's over, I guess you can officially shed some light on what occurred to him during the course of the season that took him out of the lineup. And whether or not you think that this is still a guy that's got a chance, especially with the way the league is moving, where we're seeing rangier defensemen, and you know, you had Kesterling there, you got Kemp back for the final game, Desharnais on an AHL deal. But maybe just first, can you educate our listeners at all about what ended up happening with Marcus Niemelainen?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's nothing to save it for now, right, Bob? The season's done. Yeah, so, yeah, first of all, Marcus is one of the great stories of our season. I think the sky's the limit with him in terms of his development potential. He's big, he can skate, he plays the game very, very hard. And that's actually, you know, probably about a month less in our regular season. He sustained a broken arm, broken wrist that prevented him from playing any further games. And so he was nursing that and was unable to kind of play down the stretch. Good news is it's nothing major. It just required time to heal, and that's what he's had over the last little while. But he should be someone that the fan base is excited about, that the organization's excited about, because he made huge strides. And I think there are the components of you know, someone who potentially could play in the NHL and have a good career.
Well, the Oilers could use some rangy guys sort of in the third pairing hole, and I still think Niemelainen is going to need more time in the minors. I think that's a fair assessment. You're going to get Sam Marukov as well next season. He finished the year hurt over in the KHL. Can you assess what you saw to Kesterling and maybe to a lesser extent Kemp, because I know he got banged up in a fight again about 3 weeks ago or so?
Sure. Yeah, Kesterling was... You know, he finished his college career at Northeastern. He came out early, and it was an adjustment to the professional game. He's a guy that, you know, he's, like you mentioned, he's got great size. He's rangy. I saw a player that could make a play on a breakout. He had some poise to him, so he didn't just, you know, wrap things around the board. He was prepared to pop things into the middle when he had the support that he required. You know, as a lot of young guys learn when they get to the American League, they learn how hard of a league it is, how you have to be strong in a way that doesn't just mean being gym strong. I call it being hockey strong. You know, so there's areas that he can improve, like a lot of young guys, in that regard, in terms of just getting stronger. I think he'll be served well moving forward by having this, you know, 20 games in the American Hockey League and working his way through two playoff series. He'll be served well because now as he heads into his summer, which will be an important summer, he'll have that in the back of his mind. He'll know what to expect. And I think that will serve him well going forward. In terms of Phil Kemp, Kemper is a little bit older, a little bit more polished physically. He's somebody who spent some time over in Europe to get his game going, to find some hockey during this strangest of years. And then he came back over. Good person, good leader, felt good with him on the ice. He's a different type of player in that he's more defensive oriented. He got banged up a little bit and he missed close to a month. And just so happened that we had some injuries down the stretch and we required him to play in our last two playoff games. And wow, did he ever make it count in that game three, because he shot a puck very nicely and helped our team win. But both of those guys are young guys that are at the start of their professional careers, and they provide some optimism for the future for sure.
Jay Woodcroft, head coach, Bakersfield Condors, Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. Jay, does Tyler Benson and Cooper Marody have anything left to prove at the American Hockey League level?
Well, both of them, and we've had our exit meetings, and I talked to both of those guys. I'm so proud of how far they've come individually. You look at Cooper, he had to, not had to, but he accepted a position change this year in that we put him on the right side with McLeod and Benson. And all he did was lead the American Hockey League in goals. And, you know, he played a lot of extra minutes because, as you know, we went a lot of times to 11 forwards and 7D. So there were people that I wanted to take those extra shifts, and he was one of those guys. So he showed some versatility there. I thought he took great steps in his competition level and his battle level. So he did quite well this year, and I think Tyler Benson, we saw growth in his game as well. He's a guy that I asked to take more on the penalty kill. He was a big part of the penalty kill that finished first in the American Hockey League this year. And I think that helps provide a line of sight for him as he moves forward to try and become an everyday NHL hockey player. In the end, those two guys were our difference makers. In a 2-2 hockey game late in the third period, if you watch that shift, Benson set up Cooper for a prime scoring chance, and then Cooper set up Benson for what turned out to be the game winner. And those were the guys that we lived and died with, and we certainly lived because they made the play that counted when it mattered most.
Jay, over the course of the last three seasons, not once have you mentioned, hey, I'm trying to get to the NHL too. Not when it's been unsolicited. You've now been an AHL head coach for three seasons. How has the experience gone, and how much do you think you've grown as a person over the course of the last few years?
Yeah, well, I know that I've grown immensely, and for me, I had a kind of a different path as a coach. I learned in the National Hockey League with the greatest coaches and greatest players around in three different organizations. And so that was kind of my comeuppance as a coach, was down that path and working my way up that track. And then when the opportunity presented itself to run my own ship, run my own bench at this level, I jumped at it because I felt it was the one area of experience that I didn't have and that I had to prove myself with. And fortunately, I'm surrounded by just a great support staff here, and our assistant coaches and Dave Manson, Jeff Wool, Sylvain Rodrigue, and our video coach Noah Siegel. Those guys do a good job of taking a lot off my plate. They put out a lot of fires, and certainly they're huge factors in our team success. For me, I think when I think of my own career and think of developing as a coach, I put a lot of time and thought into my philosophy on coaching. I put a lot of time on my philosophy on leadership, and those are things that you refine at the American Hockey League level. And I know with two Pacific Division championships in 3 years, that you don't do that without good people on staff, and you certainly don't do that without excellent players in the locker room, excellent leadership, and you don't do it without support from management. So I find myself as somebody who's in a real good position. I'm fortunate. I'm thankful. And, I just continue to try and work at my craft as well.
Jay, appreciated all the time you gave us during the course of this season, and we will touch base shortly down the road.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Take care.
You bet. That's Jay Woodcroft, head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. They won the Pacific Division Championship in Nevada. The whole series was in the state of Nevada. Henderson, coached by Manny Viveros, And Vegas was moving players up and down between their NHL team and their FAR team. And that was one of the things that Jay had to overcome, is some of those guys that were on the taxi squad for Edmonton never got to play and help out.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bakersfield during the course of the season. We'll take a quick timeout, get to some of your texts on Oilers Now when we return. It's 1:24 in Edmonton.
Hi, this is Oscar Klefbom from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Shed.
So you're saying there's a chance, 1:27 in Edmonton. Some guests in Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Japanese Village, now open for takeout orders. Full details at jvedmonton.ca. Don and his staff will take care of you. Let's quickly go to a couple texts here. Randy has texted the show to say, Jay Woodcroft is awesome. If we didn't have a great group here, would love to see him back. The epitome of a player's coach. He has their backs and perfect for their developments. Again, you can text us. Another texter, John Jay out of Edmonton, says, with the talk about Nugent Hopkins' contract extension 10 years since his draft, and in the Avs game last night, you remember who went second. I was telling people the Oilers should have taken Landeskog back then. Now, I haven't really bought it up that often. It's time. That one comes to us. Well, guess what? Landeskog's a free agent as well. It's going to be an interesting offseason in that regard. Never know how quickly these conversations start. This process starts wheeling. There's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brentridge Ford in Wetaskiwin is committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments are in an interest rate that's too high and you want to sell it, refinance it, or trade it in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brentridge Ford, or give them a call, 1-877-477-3673, or visit brentridge.com. We will head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Al May, it's going to get heated when we return on Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.